Got an ugly home, you just wanna sell and that's it. But you need someone to buy it right now, as is. ASAP Home Investments LLC, here's the plan. Buy your ugly home today and put cash in your hand. Woo, yeah. ASAP Home Investments LLC, 919-822-9903. Yeah, ASAP Home Investments LLC, 919-822-9903. Yeah. Hello, world. My name is Keshana Hayward, and I'm coming to you live from Germany, Hohenfels, Germany. I decided to do a podcast on the first episode is From the Sidelines to the Game of Investing. Investing is a big, major part of my life as of late, and also just as a dream of mine for quite some time. Just kind of outline what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about how military spouses or military service members can really get involved in investing. And I think it's so important that we create a platform so that everyone is able to get as much information as possible. I feel like a lot of information is not as adequately available to us. We travel, PCS, are all over across the world. So I think this is a good platform to inform my fellow service members of the opportunities involved with investing. A little bit about myself. I am a military spouse. We are stationed here in Hohenfels, Germany. And I have been investing for a couple of months. I started in January. landed a couple deals back in the States and have been able to bless others with not only the information I've acquired, but also just information that I've sold into myself. So this podcast is really a way to guide you all and to motivate you. I've talked to so many people who are having a difficult time getting started. And what I do is I'm a wholesaler, and I'll get into that a little later, but I kind of wanted to go in some type of order, considering this is my first podcast, and just give you some of the highlights of what I'm talking about, get you interested, get you pumped. This is my passion, and hopefully I can inspire and motivate you guys to get on the ball, get rolling, and all that jazz. First thing I wanted to talk about was my goal with the podcast. Again, my goal is just simply to inspire, provide information if possible, and just shine a light on ways to be financially free and to set yourself and your children up for generational wealth. It's not just paycheck to paycheck. And this podcast is for anyone and everybody who has ears. That sounds silly, but has ears to listen and can apply this information. So hopefully it can empower you and make you better. How I got started. I got started by, it's always been a passion of mine. It's always been a passion of mine to start investing in real estate. I feel that I always felt that it was a way to make myself, probably in the beginning, prior to make myself wealthy. It started at 13. Me and my cousin, we'll watch the flipping shows and we get inspired by that and see how, you know, people were easily, it seemed, making money. And it just really caught my attention. About age 13, me and my cousin sit in the living room, get on the computer, the dial-up situation, and really try to really like scheme and like talk about how in the world we can make this work at 13. Or even at an adequate age to make money. And that passion and seed was planted very early, and that has always been with me since. but that wasn't my first or my initial occupation. So after college, I went and went to D.C. I lived there for a while, and I taught fifth grade in Washington, D.C., it was great. I loved it. I also taught in North Carolina as well. And I really loved it. And initially I wanted to be a lawyer, but, you know, things change. God has a different plan. And I'll go over that story at a later date, another episode, so stay tuned. But what I found is that I was exceptionally, how do I want to say, like, I was really invested in my job and what I was doing. And I could have worked as a teacher for free. I know a lot of people say that's kind of cliche, but that's actually very true. This is my passion. But the idea of real estate and getting in the game of real estate and investing has always been on my mind. I've always done research on ways to do this without too much money. And to be honest, I was looking at the time to do things that didn't have as much risk. But of course, we know without, you know, high risk, there's really no reward. So I learned that later, kind of getting in the game. But initially, I didn't really, I was just trying to find a kind of a quick and the easiest avenue to kind of get into real estate investing. I remember my dad used to watch the Carlton Sheets. He had like the videos, the book, whatever Carlton Sheets had at that time. He was heavily involved in that. And I don't know. I don't recall him. I didn't visually or physically see him going over that stuff. I feel like it might have sat. But aside from that, I just really saw an opportunity to be financially free, and I thought that was very interesting. So going back to the story, you know, DC, then North Carolina, the reason why I shift is because I moved from Washington, DC to North Carolina after meeting my husband, then boyfriend, now husband. We moved to North Carolina. I taught there for about a year, and I got pregnant, and soon after that, we got orders to come to Germany. And coming here, to be honest with you, it was a true culture shock in every aspect of life, but we were able to get through that, and that'll be another episode where I talk about our struggles to kind of get our feet, you know, wet and try to get some inspiration to just be great. And I think that's the motivating factor that drives me. But going back to the story, just coming here, being military, and I feel like every door that I was attempting to go through here in Germany, just to make money, I was at home mom, at the time, still am. I just have some added responsibilities. But at the time, I wanted to not only help financially in the household, but also really just pursue a passion of mine. And I felt like I just heard way too many stories on YouTube and wherever else I heard it, TV. And I thought that, I thought it was easy, but I thought that it was possible. And that was really, that determination has always been in me, as I stated earlier, since 13, but it really began to grow as I started to go to YouTube University. That's what we call it, as wholesalers or investors. And really just get some information about other avenues or aspects to actually invest. And I stumbled upon wholesaling. Now, at a later date, I'll kind of describe, on episode 2, I'll describe wholesaling, what it is, and even aspects of how to get started. As for now, though, I'll talk about just, again, steamrolling with the determination aspect of it, because no matter what I tell you of ways to make money, and I'll give you an example of that, but no matter ways I tell you ways to make money, it won't help if you're not actually motivated, if you don't have the courage to actually step out of faith, step out on your dreams and really try to make something happen. And my example is, so my dad, I get all of this. It goes even further or deeper than that. It's genetics. And really, not only genetics, but just really seeing my my dad and my mom, my parents, work really hard. Who are still married, by the way. Shout out to them. But kind of seeing my dad really always be a dreamer. And I think that's key to this. There are limitations to that because, you know, there's analysis paralysis. If you're analyzing and researching and doing all this stuff, you may or may not get to your actual dream. That kind of stops action. But I saw him be a dreamer, and I saw him feel like he had about two businesses of his own. He still has one of them, I believe. Kind of a combination of two. He works with pallets. He also is a truck driver. At one time, he had his own truck drive, own LLC with truck driving. But I feel like I saw that, and I saw the blood, sweat, and tears that went into investing and ways to make money. I saw the failures. I saw the successes. I saw the joy, the pain, the passion, the hard work it took to actually keep it going. And again, when I said it was genetics, I really kind of meant that it's my experience, what I saw. I caught what I saw. And what I saw was two people just really working hard to provide for their family. Going back to, my idea was, lost my thought. My idea or my train of thought was, so he owns pallets, a pallet business and does trucking. And he would take me and my sister, he still does, you know, he'll try to trap us for real. But he'll take us or give us stories about his pallets and what he's doing and all of this other stuff. And to me, at the time, I saw how much money he was making. I saw him bring, you know, back then, and a good example from what I remember, $800 to $1,000 a week easily off of wood. You know what I'm saying? Like pallets and what he did with them and how he fixed them to be profitable and all this other stuff. And I would go with him on a couple runs and try to find pallets. And, you know, we pick on him saying he's like he has a pallet radar, you know, but I saw the success of it. And me seeing that, I saw that the hard work it took. But not only that, he would preach to me and anybody he knew and still does about how much money the pallet business is and you know, how much money can be made in the trucking business. But I wasn't interested in that. So it's not my passion. God didn't lay that on my heart, you know, to really pursue that. Although I saw the money coming in, I wasn't really moved to act on pallets. Like, I saw him in the heat, you know, trying to find pallets and sweating and, you know, working hard to fix up a pallet, make it profitable, as I said earlier. And although I saw that, and although I saw the money it made, it didn't encourage me enough to actually go out myself and find pallets. Like, I wasn't going to do that. But I knew that I would never, ever be broke because I knew I had a way to make money if I had to. But it wasn't ideally what I would want to do to make money. In my head at 13 or whatever age I was, it was either going to be a lawyer or something in real estate at the time, you know, as a young child. But definitely nothing about it was not in my ideas or thoughts about, you know, working in the pallet business at all. So it goes to my point that, you know, no matter what or anything that you hear, whether it be here on YouTube, in person, you know, at a meetup group or whatever, whatever you hear, it won't resonate. It won't make sense what the person is telling you if that's not initially your passion. Now, what I believe is, we do have to pray about, you know, pray to God about what is our passion? And that's probably a key first step, because we have to fulfill His will. And a part of that is even knowing what that will is. And, you know, some people I kind of believe may never know. But if you have the opportunity to, you know, connect and be intimate with God and figure out His will over your life, I think it's important to go out on it. And I think it's important to what I mean by go out on it is to pursue it and be obedient to that. But again, going back to kind of what I was saying, I'll go off on tangents because this is my first podcast, but I'm excited. But going back to what I was saying, he told me tons of stories about pallets. I knew how to make money, but okay, what now? So that's why I think it first starts with motivation for you to, dig in and really not even care about failure. And I know that's easy to say, it's hard to accept, and it's hard in the moment to face failure. But as I talk about a little later, hopefully I'll get to it, don't forget, at the end of the day, like, what do you have to lose? I guess that's the main idea of this podcast. Told you I was a teacher, so I'm gonna come back to that. But what do you have to lose? Like, really, if you think about it, you know, what do you have to lose? It could be tons of a list of tons of things, but realistically, you know, for me and how kind of my brain works is, it before starting on real estate and really jumping out on faith, and that's credit to Steve Harvey, the jump, you know, when he talks about jumping, the idea of failure kind of came and kind of still does. I'm not going to say that it doesn't affect me, but it does kind of come second nature to my train of thought now. My train of thought now simply just says it would pretty much eat me alive or kill me inside to not even try. And I think that's the difference of where I am. I would rather fail versus not even try it. And I think that's kind of the shift in my thinking. And that comes from, you know, the blessings I've received from the real estate investing aspect and just what I've seen can happen, that it is possible. And that's kind of about you not letting people determine your fate and not letting people or their words or actions determine who you are and whose you are. And I think that's important, who and whose you are. So just going back to what I was saying earlier, how I got started, kind of told you a little brief timeline of how I got started, and where does my drive and determination come from? My drive and determination comes from me knowing that 90%, the statistics say 90% of the world's wealth, not even America, the world's wealth comes from real estate. So me knowing that and me having a passion for it really makes sense to me to go out and really be determined. Now, through talking to people, I kind of realized that everybody doesn't have that same determination. And I've actually sat back. It probably goes back to what I said earlier. I kind of sit back and, you know, think, like, if you're asking me the information, what in the world, and you seem like extremely interested, what in the world is stopping you? And that probably is how kind of my dad felt with when he would tell me about pallets and, you know, talk to his purple and blue about pallets. He may have been thinking the same thing. Like, what, Keyshawna, what is really stopping you to go out and start your own business in pallets? But I think to answer kind of both of those questions is it has to do with your passion. I think God gives us, everybody, a certain passion. there's someone who may listen to this podcast or out in the world who may not listen to the podcast who's like extremely passionate about dolphins. That's not my passion, but God laid it on their heart to be passionate about dolphins and squirrels. There's somebody who's passionate about, you know, nails and having a salon business and whatever that is. And everybody's passion may not match. But going back also to what I said, it's important to, you know, find some type of alignment and really find out what your passion is, because it's going to be different for everybody. What really tugs at your heart, what gets your blood flowing, what boils your blood, that you know, thing, what is it? And you'll be, I guess, blessed enough to have that make money for you, especially if it's God's will. But I don't know. I think that it's different in everybody. Now, what I try not to do, and as of late, I've just kind of given information and given advice, tactics, everything that I've learned in these short, you know, brief couple of months. I'm still no guru or no expert. I will never proclaim to be. Just trying to continue to learn and be better. But I'm trying to adapt to everybody's determination or encouragement or motivation, I should say, not matching my own. So I'm just trying to be patient and I'll go over with that word. I'm trying to be patient about what I say, how I say it, and the delivering of the message. Now, I also understand that everybody's not going to be willing and accepting to actually receive the information. I could talk again till I'm purple and blue in the face like my dad did. But again, if that's not their passion, then it's kind of off or not, you know. But where does my driving determination come from? One example happened during Christmas. So we went home for the holidays and Christmas, and you know, we're pretty much debt free. So we don't have a credit card at the moment. Now we do, but at the moment we didn't have a credit card, and we were trying to we take the MAC flight. My military service members, y'all know what that is. We take the MAC flight. Oh, for those who are not military, MAC flight is basically sometimes not even free. It's, you know, you pay a couple dollars to go from base to base. And it's at a really awesome deal. You know, if you have your traveling children, they get their own seat. And it's pretty much, if you're taking the Patriot Express, which is a type of flight, it's really cool. It's basically a commercial flight, kind of like Delta. If you're taking, you know, one of the military planes, like we did, going, that whole trip was awful, but going from Ramstein, Germany to, where do we go? We landed in Delaware. We were trying to get to North Carolina, Charlotte, trying to get to Mooresville, actually, North Carolina, because we had an Airbnb there. So doing that, so basically that's what a MAC flight is. It can be commercial, which is the Patriot Express, or may not be. And you may just be on a military plane, which feels like, you know, you're going backwards. It's weird. Like the seats are adjusted opposite, but that's not that important. So we're going to Delaware was our first stop. And we made all of our stops. Everything was cool. What we did was we came back. We had a drive to Baltimore because that's one of our, I guess you would say, ports. Not ports, but places where we can fly out of. We went to Baltimore. And let me backtrack. Before getting to Baltimore, we had to, how do we get to Baltimore? If we don't have a credit card, then that means that rental car, you know, is going to be difficult. We had a situation where a family member tried to get us a rental car. It didn't work out for whatever reason. It's not that important. What is important is that we didn't have a way. And kind of last moment, we didn't have... we had a train ticket, but we decided that we wanted to stay longer. So we got a refund for the train ticket. and stayed longer, then kind of got caught up and really didn't make a plan B, which, you know, that's on us for not necessarily being prepared at that time without a credit card and knowing that we kind of needed that for rental car. But now we know better, we'll do better. However, so we were in Mooresville Airbnb. We had a huge dinner for our family. You know, the next day, you know, everything's cleaned up and we're now trying to hustle and bustle, trying to get our way back to Baltimore, which we thought was going to be extremely easy to do. If worst case scenario, we could just have somebody, you know, drop us off, family member or something like that. And people, you know, offered, but I mean, we didn't want to, you know, put somebody out, a family member out, going all the way to Baltimore. I mean, we could have gotten to Baltimore from a family member, but you guys know how that is. So what we did was it was like a melting point. Like, I just got like extremely stressed where, you know, I went out through an Uber and I went to rental car service because we actually rented a car in Delaware. This is the crazy part. We actually rented a car in Delaware through Avis without a credit card. We just used our credit and was able to pay with our debit card. When we were in Charlotte trying to get a rental car, they would not allow that to happen. So, you know, I Uber up there, found out that the answer was no, and then Uber back. And that ride back, I just thought, like, it just, the whole trip was kind of just messed up in general. And coming back to the Airbnb, I just felt defeated for whatever reason. And as a parent, I felt like I was a bad parent and that I was a failure. That fear, I felt like a failure. And then what we did was my husband got on the phone. We booked a Greyhound, which was kind of our last resort. And no diss to anybody who rides Greyhound faithfully. In fact, you know, a little plug, they give military discount, which I'm sure you guys knew, but they give a military discount, especially if you have a Veterans Advantage card, which I think, I don't know the details on that, but I do know it's a card that you have, and I believe they give you 10 or 15% off. So that's good to know for you guys who want to travel and budget. That's cool. So again, no diss to somebody who's riding on a Greyhound, but you know, that was just our last resort. And we did it from Charlotte. We drove Greyhound from Charlotte to Richmond and then Baltimore. And that was my first time being on a Greyhound. My husband had been on a Greyhound. He was familiar. He had taken it, you know, when he was younger, in the military. Just cheaper transportation, I should say. That was my first time on a Greyhound, and it was rough. It was, you know, kind of grimy, and you know, I got my daughter there, and you know, kind of, you know, scared to use the restroom, and you know, I'm seeing all types of characters and people screaming, arguing, whatnot. I didn't know, for whatever reason, I don't know why I didn't know, but you know, making stops here and there, and not just going directly to the destination, which I guess was my expectation. Should have lowered that expectation. But I guess nonetheless, that's how we got to Baltimore. It was just a whole situation. And after that situation, you know, I first of all vowed that, you know, we're going to be much more prepared. Number two, we'll be financially stable, even more stable to make moves, have plan A, B, and C exhausted, and still have, you know, the funds to do what we need to do and not have to do that, meaning not have to take the Greyhound, because I didn't want my child, she was only one at the time, you know, but, you know, that's still rough. And I just felt like a failure at the time. So came home and I brainstormed. Remember I said I started wholesaling in January. Came home and brainstormed, how can I make money and help, you know, my husband who's serving. And I had been actually researching wholesaling before I went to, before we went to, back to the States, but, you know, I didn't have enough time to really dig in. So when I got back from the States, really dug in and tried to find out ways this can work. And backtracking before that, another low point for me is I told you guys I was trying to start some businesses here in Germany, like home business, home-based business, like that's encouraged in the military. And for me, as a military spouse and a teacher, I got rejected. And what I was trying to do is trying to start a tutoring business, and it was just some stuff that wasn't working out, like a background check, which I'm legit, I'm no criminal, but the background check, that one person was saying I needed it, the other person said I didn't. So if I need it, where do I go? It was just a whole situation. And then being here, physically getting it, how do I get that? I mean, I could have, I think I went to the MP station and they figured it out from there, but it was just too much. And I felt like that was a roadblock. I tried so many different businesses here. I even thought about a food truck. If you know me, you know I can throw design in the kitchen and bake and all of that good stuff. I was like, okay, you know, there's no American food around us. That was a good avenue. I can do home-based business with food. I called. It was like, no, you need a cooking certificate. And in my mind, I'm like, where do I get that? Like, we're in the middle of nowhere, I feel. So it was just, it was shut door after shut door after shut door. And later on, as I talk about it now even, I realized that from my perspective, that was God's way to show me that no, I was not supposed to be doing that, because it was quite a few businesses that I tried to start and none of them worked. And like I said earlier, I'm a dreamer, like my dad. And I think of, you know, money-making ideas, especially being in Germany, not having too much to do. Think of money-making ideas. So to get the ball rolling, what I did was back in July, actually, that's backtracking a little bit further, I started school, started my master's in to be a principal. But again, just still researching. And by January, I was tired. And this is the key right here. I found my motivation. My motivation was I didn't want to. I felt like that was my rock bottom when we had to do the Greyhound situation and had my daughter experience that, which she didn't care. Like, she was just chilling, having fun, laughing, playing. But I did. It really bothered me. I felt like a failure, and I felt like I was putting my daughter in a situation that I just didn't want her in. Nothing happened, and a Greyhound, again, is a good mode of transportation, but, you know, I just wanted better. So I found my motivation, and I guess my drive as well, but now I needed, and I found my passion again, because as I was researching it, you know, I'm getting excited, like every day I'm getting excited about what can I learn today, something new, who can I look at on YouTube, who can I network with on Facebook or social media, who's doing what I'm doing, or excuse me, who's doing what I want to do, who can I talk to. So I knew that the passion was there. It was untapped passion that I tapped back into just by simply researching. And at first we were trying to you know, set money aside so we could pretty much like buy a cheap rental property or something like that, flip it, you know, get cash that way. But then this wholesaling thing came about, and I'll tell you on the next the next episode what wholesaling is and more techniques, especially if you're military, because we have a huge advantage. Military personnel has a huge advantage of moving around from duty station to duty station. And you guys, me as well, not even speaking directly, I'm taking this in too. We need to really tap into the VA and using it as an opportunity to get a multi-unit. I'll talk about that later. That's another way to get money. You live on the other side and get, you know, get a check and have eventually, you know, rent out both, both rentals. That's another conversation for another day. But as of for now, going back to what I was saying, I have my passion, you know, I have my motivation, but now I needed the information and the knowledge to back up both of those things that I feel are key to, I won't even say being successful because I'm still chasing success, but just being more vested in a better position, I guess I'm trying to say, to make moves. So what did I do? Yeah, YouTube is what I was doing or looking at. And I looked at some other things I did, which I'll talk about on episode 2. Try to keep you guys engaged and, you know, eager to learn more about this wholesaling thing. But so I had those things and I acquired knowledge and I was receiving it. And within like a month or so, and I'm still receiving, I'm not saying, again, I don't know everything, but I know enough now under my belt to progress. But I had all these components in place. And now what do I do with it? I have the knowledge, a little bit of it at least. I have, you know, the passion and the motivation and the inspiration. So what's next? Do I keep researching which in general or in theory I've been doing that since 13, off and on, not consistently, but off and on, researching. Should I do that or jump? Going back to Steve Harvey, like, should I just jump, man? Like, what do I have to lose? That was the question that ran through my head. You know, my husband was supportive. He was concerned a little bit about finances as far, because he's the man of the house. So trying to make sure that we were good and it didn't really tap into our main financial bank account. But like, aside from that, and I was assuring him that we wouldn't even use that money. We would use money from our savings account that we had, again, you know, put aside to, you know, try to do a little real estate investing. But I was just so sure that from my research, I wouldn't necessarily have to put as much money into it as I would, you know, buying a $20,000 or $15,000 property, you know, putting averaging $7,000 to $20,000 or $30,000 in it for repairs, either selling it or renting it out. You know, that was costly. But what wasn't as costly is wholesaling. What is this wholesaling deal? How do I do it? You know, how do I move? How do I be better? Whatever. And so those components came in and I just kept asking myself, what do I have to lose? What do I have to lose? And also, what do I have to gain? There's a lot to gain with this. And it was jumping. It was going from the sidelines, which is the title of this podcast, to the game of investing. Like, I was so, so tired of hearing success stories. And that's my personality. When I feel deprived of participation, especially when I know it's doable, that gets me going. So that I can just really get out there. So, and another example of that was when I used to hear, like, as a teacher in Washington, D.C., I would hear other teachers talk about cruises and what else? Like, just small, like, mini vacays with their husband or whatever, or just vacations in general by themselves or with their girlfriends or whatever. And I would be like, man, like, that sounds so dope. And didn't know that. I just always dreamed about traveling and stuff like that. And being here, we've been to Italy, you know, going to Croatia soon, Spain, London, the list goes on. So that kind of goes back to what I was saying. My personal thing is that I don't like to, I want to be a part of that success story conversation. Like, I want to have a seat at the table. And in order to do that, you must jump, whether you're military or not. But I think with my podcast, I'll probably gear a lot of it towards the military, because that's what I know and that's what I'm living. And I have an idea of our struggles and what we go through, and how we can take advantage of, for instance, you know, hopping around from duty station to duty station. Like those, you guys, us, we have a plethora of resources and resources, and we can attain so much knowledge by being in these duty stations. Okay, so I think it's only right for that I start with the military. I'll give general advice as far as wholesaling and what I'm doing, but military is really my target. All right, so I talked about where does my drive and determination come from. My last thing is, before my time runs out, what do you do when the world tells you, the world or your situation tells you no? So I think my key advice here is to be a fighter, because with wholesaling and what I'm doing, I hear so many no's now that I'm just used to it. I'm used to, sound bad, but I'm used to rejection, and that sucks, but I'm used to it. So I think what do you do in the world or your situation tells you no? You know, there's so much stuff that we go through. We got debt, bad credit. Some people may not have a job. No one believing in you, divorce, child support, whatever the issue may be that's draining you, your mind, your spirit, and that whatever else. I think it's important that we that you be a fighter. And what I mean by that is fight the situation, fight the naysayers or the haters or whatever you want to say. Fight it, because I mean, at the end of the day, I talk about it like this. I tell people, Jesus is my business partner. So being a fighter and having that confidence in something other and higher than you, I think those are some key things to keep in mind. And just really not being afraid, going back to what I said earlier, not being afraid to take a risk. Like if you really think right now, just take a moment and think right now to yourself, when was the last time you took a major risk without really, well, you're going to think about the outcome. Just when was the last time you took a major risk? And also, when was the last time you felt free? And also, or lastly, when was the last time you you fought the fear of failure? You fought somebody telling you no. You fought being in debt and, you know, not being able to go on a vacation because you didn't have the money. When was the last time you fought? And when you answer that question, that may be some of the keys to your personal success in not only this real estate business, but in life, because life is a roller coaster. And we all know this. If you've lived on this earth more than 18 years, you understand, and sometimes younger than that, but you understand that life is a true roller coaster. So having an opportunity to fight and also knowing or really believing in your heart and soul, like, what do you really have to lose? These are key aspects to really turning your life around for financial freedom, like fighting. Like, that's what I do every day. I fight. This business is not easy. But I fight. I keep going. I push through. Push, for some may know, pray until something happens. I do that too. I push. I pray. I fight. And I encourage you guys to do the same. Because, like I said earlier, just life is a roller coaster. We need to just... this podcast is meant to create a forum for people of the military, and not, but people of the military who are in a situation where they want financial freedom, and we have to fight. We have to fight. We have to fight for betterment of our family, all of that will make us better. And I was actually talking to my cousin the other day, and this is my probably last statement, wrapping it up, I was talking to my cousin the other day, and I was like, you know, there are certain people who have somebody to ask for something from. And what I was meaning was, you know, you might have a person who, you know, one of these people in your life, or somebody you've met across, you know, your lifetime, but where, you know, they have connections. They have connections. So, you know that high school friend who would just ask their parents, hey, dad, mom, can we use your lake house in California for a summer getaway or graduation, you know, trip or whatever. You know those people who have connections, who know people who have things. And I sat and I thought real hard about primarily about my family. I thought, man, who can I call on? Like, who has, not even just real estate, it could be a car, it could be anything. Who has resources that I could just really pick up the phone and say, hey, such and such, can we stay at your place? Can we, use your cottage or your cabin in Colorado for the weekend? You know, me and my family just want a little vacation. I don't have anybody to call on. And I feel like the buck kind of stops here. And that's what me and my cousin was talking about, is generational wealth, where, you know, my child will have somebody. Essentially, she'll have her own, praise God. But, you know, essentially she'll have her own later on in life. But until that point, she'll have her parents to, you know, have resources, have connections. So she can call on us and say, hey, mom, dad, can I use this or can I do that? Because we want to diversify our portfolio, not just deal in real estate, but everything, and really create generational wealth so that we can be better, man. Like, I just want, of course, you know, as a parent, you want the best for your family. And in order to get that, you got to fight. You got to fight. So those are my major highlights for this podcast. Please tell me how you like it. Also, stay tuned for future episodes and future whatever I do. My website is www.asaphomeinvestments.com. Also, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook. Please check me out. If you know anybody in the North Carolina or South Carolina area who wants to sell their home for cash, please holler at me. It's no commission. The person will sell the home as is, and they get cash in their hand. And the buyers pay all closing costs minus any unpaid taxes, mortgages, or liens. That's a good deal to me, walking away with cash in my hand for a rundown, beat up, boarded up home I don't even live in. I'm still paying taxes on, you know. So if you meet that criteria, if you're listening, check me out. 919-822-9903 or www.asaphomeinvestments.com. But it's been fun. I look forward to many more episodes. Please be one of my viewers, continue to support, and I'll continue to bring knowledge and hopefully bless you guys in your life and your family's life. That's it. All right, so let's make today count. Let's do something special. And thank you guys, and God bless. Bye.